Now, you made reference to this a few times during the interview, but now I have to ask you about one of the most interesting aspects of the music for Season 3. And so what was the genesis of the use of All Along the Watchtower?
Well, how much time do we have left? Watchtower is an idea that Ron Moore has been fighting for every season of Battlestar Galactica. From what I understand, the season finale of Season 1, when Baltar is walking through the concert hall with Number 6 in his mind, mm-hmm. they're supposed to be listening to All Along the Watchtower.
Oh.
And then again in Season 2, I think there was a place where it was supposed to come back. It's something Ron really wanted to do. So I think when he finally came up with the idea, or the writers came up with the idea to have a song trigger events in the season finale of Season 3, I think he finally put his foot down and said, this is it. This is the perfect place to finally get Watchtower. So with that said, the amazing thing is that even though he had his heart set on this piece of music, he did not give me any direction as to what it should sound like. And I just give him immense credit for that, that this is an idea that he really fought for. But at the end of the day, after he fought immensely to not only get the song in the show, but then to get Sci-Fi to license it, that at the end of the day, he turns to me and he goes, yeah, just, you know, do something with it. And I was shocked, because I didn't know if he wanted it to sound like the Hendrix version or the Dylan version or, you know, any of the other countless ones. And he said to me, no, just make it sound like Galactica, which was really pretty amazing that he would take this idea that he's so passionate about and give me literally no input. He didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea to set it in this sort of Indian heavy metal, Asian taiko drum, you know, style, it was entirely mine. In fact, when I wrote it, I did a demo of it a few months before we would end up ultimately scoring that episode. And I thought to myself, they're going to hate this. But I did it anyway just because I knew I'll always have a version that I, you know, I could say, well, this is what I was hoping it would be. And I just thought I would write the most kick-ass version of this song that I could possibly conceive.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it. I mean, everybody loved it. I ultimately made no revisions to it. So the one you hear in the final episode, it, for all intents and purposes, is exactly the one that I came up with on my first pass. Trust me, on this show, that process is pretty rare. There's always a lot of revisions. There's always a lot of back and forth. And so I was really thrilled, you know. I mean, the other thing that makes this weird is that when I wrote that, I didn't know what the episode was about. I didn't know what was happening. I don't read the scripts because I don't like to have the episodes spoiled for me, so I like to watch them for the first time when I see them. So all I knew was that they needed a version of All on the Watchtower. So you can imagine that, you know, I had no idea what it could possibly mean.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I came up with. And when I sent it on to Ron, he said, wow, I can totally picture the events happening on screen to this music. And because I didn't know there would be, like, a space battle involved or big reveals or anything. I just wrote a Battlestar version of All Along the Watchtower.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were musical hints that were kind of dropped during some of the earlier episodes, or at least one of the earlier episodes.
Yeah.
How did you do that without giving the whole thing away?
Well, it was pretty easy, honestly, because if you take away the lyrics, there's nothing in the music that I arranged that is still Bob Dylan's. I mean, there's musically, the song is very simple. It's C-sharp minor chord followed by an A major chord,
mm-hmm.
looped endlessly, and a harmonica solo. And even that doesn't have any melodic hooks. So really, if you take out the lyrics, it could be mistaken for any other song. Adding confusion to that, I wrote two original guitar riffs that are actually just my original compositions to the song. Mm-hmm. So when you're actually hearing these guitar lines, there's no reason in the world to think that it's All Along the Watchtower. It's only at the very end, when the lyrics come in and his vocal melody comes in, that you realize, oh my gosh, this is All on the Watchtower. So it made that trick really easy, because they could hear any part of the song and there'd be no reason to even suspect what it is until the characters start quoting the verses.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know this. I know this story because I read it in your blog, but there was something that happened on the mix for the episode where it features All Along the Watchtower, where the was so loud that they couldn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is you know, as a composer, you know, I go to the dubs just to make sure that all the producers are happy. Mm-hmm. But of course, it's also an exercise in humility, because basically you watch your music get mixed so low that you can't hear it, and then most of the time the producer will say, I need to hear that line, or that explosion's got to be bigger. So it's always a matter of the music becoming even softer, and it's, you know, it's painful. I'm not going to say you ever get over it, but it's what the show needs to do to be a good show. So imagine my surprise when, in the scene where the first real clear version of, it wasn't actually even All Along the Watchtower, it was a cue that I had written based on my original riffs that leads into All Along the Watchtower, but it's a climactic scene and a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
When that cue came up, the producer said, no, make that music even louder, make it louder. Raise the guitars, I want to hear more of that rock and roll drums. We played it back, raised it louder, and he says, I want more. Can you get it even louder? The dubber looks at the needles, and he says, no, you can't. The music is so loud that it's actually, you can't get it any louder and still be, you know, legal for broadcast. I mean, my jaw hit the floor, because my music had never done that before.
Oh, that's amazing. So now, have you heard any feedback from Bob Dylan?
I haven't. His CD is going out in the mail tomorrow. I'm sending him a copy, and I doubt I'll ever hear anything from him. It would be, just to know he even knows that it exists would be an honor. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, coming in this weekend up here in Canada anyway, BSG Razor is premiering.
Yes.
You wrote the music for that, obviously. Did you take the music in any different directions, or did you just keep it in the Battlestar Galactica standard universe?
Well, it's certainly in what is, you know, what I would call the Battlestar standard universe. There's nothing in the episode that is that outside the box for us. I think, you know, interestingly enough, the we were talking about earlier about the episode Pegasus, mm-hmm. which there were not only some orchestral decisions made, but a lot of weird musical decisions were made in that episode. So I was hoping or considering that because this is the backstory of the Pegasus that we would be hearing the return of those themes. But in fact, that doesn't happen. And the main reason that doesn't happen is that Razor isn't really about the Pegasus. It just takes place on the Pegasus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about a new character named Kendra Shaw. And ultimately, everything we learn about Admiral Kane and about the Pegasus, we learn through her eyes. So really, it's truly not about the backstory of the Pegasus. It's about the development and growth of Kendra Shaw. So I had to write her a theme, and because she's never appeared on the show before, it's obviously a new theme. And that you know, you'll hear that a lot throughout the development of Razor. There's also a recurring moment of, well, I'm trying to decide if I should spoil it. I can't remember if it's already out on those sci-fi featurettes or not. But there is.
Don't worry about spoiling it then. If there's a fear of spoiling it, don't do that.
Well, then there is another theme that comes back in the DVD version of Razor, and I don't think the sci-fi version. There's another theme that comes back that will make all the fans very happy.
Now, which kind of leads me to maybe revealing this. There are flashbacks to the first Cylon War.
Yes.
Did you take that opportunity to pay any homage to the original series?
I will just say yes.
Now, obviously, you've started season 4's music. So, how is the writer's strike affecting you?
Oh, it's affecting us a lot. I mean, it's affecting everybody. I think we are actually among the luckiest shows. Of most people that I know that work in TV are basically out of work by Christmas, and in post production, I should say. Mm-hmm. And Battlestar, we have 10 episodes to produce, possibly even 11. So what that means is we are on schedule to deliver an April premiere and run 10 shows. Of course, the problem, I think fans were a little concerned when they learned that it was possible that Sci-Fi Channel wasn't going to run a full run of 20 shows in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now with the strike, I think, you know, fans can obviously count on the fact that they're only going to get 10 episodes of Battlestar. And if the strike were to end very soon, then those remaining 10 could, in theory, be ready for the fall. But I'm not involved with the production planning. But my gut instinct is that because of the strike, you're not going to see the last 10 episodes until 2009.
Wow,
it's probably going to be. I mean, this is something that Sci-Fi Channel was considering doing anyway, and the strike is making it impossible to do anything else. I just finished watching the first run of 10. It's amazing. It is really amazing. I mean, easily the best run of shows that this series has done yet. And it's going to be frustrating for everybody. I mean, not just the fans, all of us that work on the show, to have to have these delays built in. But it'll be worth the wait. It'll be worth the wait. I mean, those scripts really are incredible, and I really feel for those writers. They deserve everything that they're standing for, and this show wouldn't be good without them. So I know that, everybody in post and the actors, we all support them very much.
All right. Well, now in the liner notes of season 3, you make mention that season 4 will be the final season of Battlestar Galactica. So what does the future hold for you after Battlestar Galactica?
I have a lot on my plate still. I mean, I'm doing the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which is the Terminator series.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's on Fox, and it's a premiere show. So we don't know if I'll be working on it, beyond February or March. But I have a very good feeling about it. I am enjoying working on it as much as I enjoy working on Battlestar, and I think it's an incredible series, especially for network television. I mean, I think it's really a remarkable show. So with any luck, I hope to be working on that for a while. And also, there's the possibility that I'll return to Eureka for season 3, although the strike, is pushing third season of Eureka into the distant future. I'm just keeping my energy focused on finishing Battlestar right now.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a lot of offers I've had to turn down the past year. I've certainly not been struggling looking for stuff to do. And right now I'm just focusing on giving the final season of Battlestar the music it deserves and really making sure that it's incredible. Because I do know that it'll be a long time before I work on a show as good as Battlestar again. I mean, I don't know how many shows there are out there that are as good as Battlestar. So I'm really just trying to savor every episode, every cue, every scene that I write, and give it my best. And basically, focusing on the future and after that, after it's done.
All right. Well, I really appreciate the time that you've given me today. Is there going to be a release for Battlestar Galactica Razor? Is there any talk of that yet?
A soundtrack release?
A soundtrack, sorry. Yes.
There has been, and I think ultimately my decision is going to be to include a couple of cues on the upcoming season 4 record. Frankly, it just wouldn't make a really good album. I mean, there are a couple of really great cues, probably more than a couple, probably 4 or 5 that are really outstanding, and then a lot of underscore that I think just doesn't make for an incredible album. And what I'm going to do in the long run, once season 4 ends, I'm going to put together a multi-disc collection of cues that didn't make it on any of the records. So I'm going to go back to even season 1 and put out everything that everybody wants to hear that hasn't made the cut.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point also, I might even just include the complete Razor score, as well as a couple other episodes, just the complete score for the true Battlestar Galactica fans.
Yeah.
And, because the way I put together these records so that they're very accessible to everybody, and they're very listenable, and I make them like albums. But I know that there's people out there that want to have just every cue, and that's something that I do want to, release in the long run. So that'll probably be 2009. By the time I'm done, I've got to finish season 4 and then do the season 4 record. Also, as long as you're talking about upcoming projects, next March I'm going to be releasing my music from Eureka, which will actually be very fun. It's like Cajun Zydeco accordion music meets really weird 80s new wave music meets blues and bluegrass. It's really weird. Really weird stuff. And night and day.
Is that
different
a La La Land release?
It'll be La La Land, yeah.
Cool. All right then. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks, Rob.
We shall talk to you later then.
You got it.
Okay.